Blog Talk Radio.
Also, just in case you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, Brother Prater. You can see our podcast, and you can go in and just communicate with us and get a chance to, you know, just enjoy the show virtually. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and start with the show. Number one, for those that are online, I apologize. The audio version, I've got to click one. On, but I'm glad for y'all to chime in and listen in. So on today's show, we're going to talk about the importance of choosing quality folks in your life. We're going to talk about choosing folks as well as tools to determine the toxic ones. We're going to talk about a whole lot of that, especially in this day and time. We're going to talk about choosing quality folks in your life. And much more in the episode called What's the Net Worth of Your Network? What is the net worth of your network? Evaluating the folks in your circle. Now, oftentimes what we have to do, we have to stop being biased in our life. Oftentimes we pick people in our lives because they are related to us. Or they fit a certain status, or they may have a certain appeal, or they may have something of value that you feel like you can use. And so oftentimes what happens, we end up picking people in our lives or close to us that we end up selfishly either being or using or allowing ourselves to be used. also, there are certain people who may have good quality friends or people within their circle that are beneficial, that's healthy. But like I said, there are some that choose people that are healthy, but then there are others that choose people that are unhealthy, that are toxic. And these are the things that we want to talk about today. We want to talk about it just for you to be able to just evaluate the people that were in your circle. Now, like I said, people that are in your circle, these are the people that you often lean on, communicate with, those that you may... Excuse me one second. No. What is it? All right. Sorry about that. I did this before the show. I drank some hot tea, and I made sure to take some pause. So I was doing good. I did good today at church. I only had one slip-up. So I'm claiming it's on the slip-up today, verbally. When we look at the people that are in our circle, these are people that you can have as friends or as family. Now, one of the things I always talk about, I always say, just because they're family does not mean that you automatically draft them into your circle. When I say your circle, that means the people that you often communicate with or you give your trust to. Just because they're family does not mean that they have earned that right or position to have your trust. That's something we have to understand. See, sometimes with friends, you know, there might be people that has earned our trust along the way or throughout the years. But what happens oftentimes with family, we immediately let our guards down because we automatically assume that they would not use or hurt us. And then oftentimes you're wrong. Because understanding that just because you all may have had the same upbringing, you still have to closely examine and discern if that person is qualified for that position of having your trust. One thing we always hear people say, you don't do business with family. Now, does that mean that everybody in your family is unqualified? The answer is no. There are some that actually are qualified. There are some that are actually a blessing to you in whatever situation that you may need, whether it be advice or, you know, a listening ear, word of encouragement, whatever. But also on the same token, you have to examine that person that you may be looking at. Have you done your homework on that person? Or are you the one that automatically give them your trust because they are family? And the answer is no, you should not do that. Understand, all family ain't family. All blood ain't family. And so what you have to do, you have to examine if this person is qualified or not. Oftentimes, what happens? Oftentimes, we take family for granted, or we take family members for granted. In other words, what I see with that, that means that we have not built up that trust level, or we have not built a relationship with that person, even if they are family. And so that's why it's so important for us to be able to really build or to see if that person is qualified. Like I always say, and it's nothing personal. You have to think about your circle as business. You have to see who's qualified to help you, not only to get where you're going in life within your purpose, but also help you and encourage you mold you or even challenge you in the area that you're in right now. It's always important. Yes, as a matter of fact, someone said, don't do business. Yeah, Rochelle, don't do business with friends. Right. You have to see if that person is qualified. The same thing that we say about family is the same thing pertaining to friends. Because oftentimes, we got to ask ourselves. We're not going to ask them. We need to ask ourselves, why are they our friend? Or why did I choose them as my friend? Let me rephrase that. Why did I choose them as my friend? See, oftentimes, we choose people as our friend because they call us their friend. In other words, oftentimes, we can be trusted. They can depend upon us, and we show friend traits to them, and they call us friend. Honest, we're morally good, ethically good, where, you know, we're not going to sell for them, we're going to help them, blah, 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 blah. And so with that, we have earned their trust, and they call us friend. And because they call us friend, sometimes we immediately let our guards down, and because they call us friend, we draft them as our friend. Now, we can be trusted, but just because we can be trusted, does that mean that they can, just because we can be trusted by them, does that mean that they could be trusted by us? Think about that. There are many people that has been used because they let their guards down by trying to help somebody that they call friends. There's an old song, matter of fact, I can say this. There's an old song by a group called Houdini. 85 once said, friends, how many of us have them? Friends, ones we can depend on. Or, matter of fact, the song by the OJs, Backstabbers. Matter of fact, there's another group, want to go way back. Smiling Faces, Sometime Tell Lies. You know, and I believe in us being really transparent. And of course, this is a Christian podcast that I definitely, definitely love to tell people about the goodness of God and for us to accept Him as Lord and Savior in our lives. But what will happen, us as believers, I'm talking to those that are within the church, all the time we're the ones that get used and get duped because we let our guards down and we feel like, well, you know, it's the Christian thing for us to help everyone. Up, let's roll that tape back. One of the things I always tell people, the Bible tells us we are supposed to be good stewards. And oftentimes when we think about stewardship, we think about possessions, which is true. But also that also pertains to matters of the heart. We have to consult God about everything. My question is, before you even before you choose to endorse or do something, you always, when I say endorse, that means even choosing to, if you want to say, endorse someone as a friend or recommend having someone as a, you know, you referencing someone or you referring someone, you always have to pray. We always have to pray and ask God, God, is this person true to who they say that they are? Or are they a representative? Is it them or is it a representation of them? Is it live or is it Memorex? See, we have allowed ourselves to be used, especially as believers. I'm going to be honest with you. Before we got saved, sometimes we didn't trust anybody. We didn't trust them. Oh, we could pick up. Oh, no, that person. No, that person likes to run game. See, because game recognized game. But then what happened when we got saved, we gave our life to God, which is important. We gave our life to Jesus Christ. That's very important. But what happened is we don't consult God about, do we accept this person? Do we endorse this person? And we, like I said, we recognized game before we got saved or before we got delivered. And then what happened when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't discern. Like I said, we don't pray. And God be showing us these red flags. And you know what we do? We say, well, you know, I don't want to judge them. I don't want to judge. No, God is showing you them red flags for a reason. In other words, we got to stop being used. And it happens within the church. And God wants us to stop. The Bible tells us, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Everywhere in the scripture, it tells us, don't give our pearls to swine. It tells us, lay hands subtly on no man, meaning don't give your approval to people who has not earned it. Now, my question is, have you examined them? Go to God and ask him about them. Or did you, well, you know, I can help them and we make the stupidest decision. I'm being wrong real because I'm tired of seeing us as believers getting used, getting duped. I see it all the time. Yeah, I see it even at work. I see inmates, sometimes even officers. I've seen inmates that ain't even saved or delivered. And then also they try to run a game on a good person or someone that they know is a believer. Well, you know, you're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to help. You're supposed to help. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You're going to go and have your hand out to me thinking I'm going to give to you. But you bypass the dope dealer, the crack dealer. You bypass pimps, all these people that you know ain't living, ain't worth the flip. But you're going to come to me because you automatically think, well, you know, are you supposed to, the Bible said better to give than to receive? Oh, wait. Now you're dealing with somebody that knows and knows in its proper context. So instead of you coming to me, how about you go to the people that are like you? Well, you know, man, look here, get out of my face. See, they think, well, you know, meek means weak. That's what they think, and that's what we often reflect. We got to stop doing that. We got to use our brains. We got to use our brain. We got to look. I've seen this, and like I said, this is just me being real. I've seen many times. It's like we just get absent-minded and just allow ourselves to be used. Stop being you. You know, when you allow yourself to be used, now I'm going to say it like this. I can understand we can make a mistake. I do understand that. We've all made mistakes. But when you consistently make the wrong decisions, when it no longer is an accident, when it becomes a lifestyle of bad decisions, you're mismanaging not only what God gave you, but also who God made you. I want you to think about how valuable you are. Now, I wanted you to think about how valuable the decisions that you make in life. And one of the important decisions other than accepting salvation in your life through Jesus Christ is the people that you have in your circle. Can you evaluate them? We always hear the saying, in your circle, in your group, if you're the smartest one in the group, then you're in the wrong circle. You got to have people within your circle that's going to challenge you, that's going to promote Look, mobility charge you to get up that hold you accountable and responsible. That it could be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, vocationally, in every area of your life. In other words, do you have people in your life that's going to help you to be better? Or are you choosing people in your life that's going to keep you bitter? Are you having quality people in your life? And like I said, there are some people you have to excommunicate them out of your circle. Now, just because you excommunicate them out of your circle does not mean that you're excommunicating them out of your life. Like I said, there are people, let's be honest, there are people that are in your family. There are people that are in your family. You can communicate with, hey, how you doing? But because you know who you're dealing with, you deal with them at a certain level. That person may not be mature enough to be responsible for certain that may be in your life. So that's why if you can deal with them accordingly, then you can deal with certain people that you have to dismember from your circle and put them in different categories in your life. You got to be responsible for doing that. Excuse me one second. What we got to do, you got to think about, is this person responsible or not? Can this person handle the responsibility of my trust? Now, the question is, do you value your trust? Let me say it like this. Your trust coincides with your heart. Do you place high value on your heart or on your trust? If you do, good. Now you got to look at the people that you are choosing, possibly choosing, or selecting, or the potential candidates for your circle. You got to look at them having a spiritual, emotional resume that you have to look at. And after you look at it, you have to be unbiased. But also you have to discern. You got to ask God, look, for him to show you the true identity of this particular person. And it's nothing personal. That's the main thing I always say. It's nothing personal. And just because does not mean that they're not qualified to have your trust or be within your circle, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. They just may need to be helped or healed. I want you to understand that. Just because somebody is unhealed or unqualified does not make them a bad person. It may just mean that that person is not right for that particular position. Let's be honest. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. When you look at the successful people that has failed in businesses, especially several times over, does that mean they're a bad person? They may have to fine-tune in their skills, or they may have the perfect product for the wrong company. And so what we have to do, there may be somebody that we may have to disqualify from our circle because they're not the one God is assigning to us, but they are assigned somewhere else. And if we choose to keep someone that God did not authorize or God did not assign to us, then we're operating outside of our purpose and we're allowing them to operate outside of their purpose, knowing or not. That's why it's so important for us to pray and discern and consult God to ask him, is this person qualified or assigned for my trust? Think about it. And like I say, it's nothing personal, but this is business. But also, this is purposeful. And so with that being said, we got to think about the people that we're choosing in our circle. people that we choose in our circle, they represent us. They represent us. I often think about celebrities. Matter of fact, I'm not going to call a particular celebrity name, but there was a celebrity. There have been several celebrities that may have had a guest home, and they let someone that they trusted stay in that guest home. And then the person that they trusted end up doing some devilment in that guest home. Yeah, they may look at the person that actually did it that was in the guest home, but they're going to look at who is the home owner. And when they realize that the person that's a home owner is a big celebrity, now they look at, so if you associate yourself with these kind of people, this kind of person, that says a lot about you. Understand the people that we choose in our life or in our circle, they represent us. It says a lot about us, and it says a lot about our decision making. So the question is, when you think about the people that you're choosing or you have chosen, if you know, first of all, if you know that they're into something that is not right, then the question is, why are you allowing that? Why are you allowing that type of person to be in your circle? Now, if they're into something you didn't know about, then the question is, why you didn't do your homework? Because if you driving in a car and all of a sudden the police stop you and then there is something illegal in the car and you told them, hey, I didn't know. I let my blah, blah, blah friend or somebody use my car. And so the question is, why are you letting somebody that may have this in your car? It says a lot about you. But then also, apparently, if they are the type of person they having some type of illegal things in your car, they're not really your friend because they're not gonna dishonor you and your trust by doing something illegal that represents you, which is your car. And now, person that you said that was your friend, all they gotta say is if police talk to him or catch him and say, somebody told me that you used their car and you left this in their car. Is that true? They can lie. Now, look here. Now you stuck with the charge. Now your reputation is at stake. Why? Because you're allowing somebody that is not qualified or that has a difference of morality in your circle or in your car. So we got to think about these things. In other words, think. Now, the other thing is, I mentioned earlier, if you choose the people in your life, the question is, why are you choosing that particular person in your life? Are you choosing that person in your life because you like helping folks and you feel like you can help them and, you know, all they need is a friend or they got good potential and all they need, somebody to just kind of help them along the way? Look, that is not friendship. That's mentorship. And you have to understand the difference. Mentorship is work or is an assignment. But friendship is different. My question is, if you have neighbors, if you have a house, and you have neighbors that are around you, 20 neighbors around you, 20 houses around your house, does that mean because they're your neighbors, does that mean that each one of them 20 neighbors get a key to your house? No. Number one, why? Number one, because you don't know them. Number two, because they haven't earned your trust. What if they're irresponsible? What if they're a good person, but what if they associate themselves with bad people? So in other words, it's not just them that you're watching, but it's who they associate themselves with. There's a saying that says, bad company corrupts good character. And we got to look at the people that we're choosing, the people that we're choosing, and also not only the people that we're choosing, but we got to look at who they've chose in their life. There was somebody that used to always come to me. I wasn't the only one, but I would always hear them talk about a particular person. I can't stand this so-and-so, so-and-so. I can't stand blah, 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 blah. Man, what do you think? And they would ask me, and I would hear them ask other people. But also, as soon as that person that they would just talk about, they said they can't stand, every time that person come around, that person that told me they can't stand them, well, ha, ha, he, in their face. There's an old saying that my mama, we used to say, and my grandma used to say, if a dog bring a bone, he'll carry a bone. In other words, if a person come to you with mess, they're going to pick up something to give that mess to that person they just told you about who they're being messy by or messy with. In other words, be careful of them people who's gossiping to you about somebody else. Because that same person that's gossiping to you about somebody else is the same one that are gossip to them about you. Facts. So you have to be mindful and responsible of the people, not only that you choose, but also watch the people that they have chose. Well, we got to look at the quality of the people that we choose around you will reveal the quality of the value of your purpose. See, do you value your purpose? If you value your purpose, it can be determined by the choices you make, especially within the people that you call friends or the people within your circle. And like I say, I'm looking more into saying about circle because we need to examine the people that we call friends, but then there are also people that are in our family that we can choose within our circle, and you can have a mix. That's fine, as long as they are qualified people. Understand that your trust is a job. It's a company. So my question is, who you are allowing within your company? Think about that. Oftentimes, we think about company pertaining to business, pertaining to buildings. You do the same thing pertaining to the people that you want in your company. Think about that. So if you think about that, then it helps you be more mindful and more prayerful in who you have within your circle. Also, think about this. When you are the one that's always trying to beat up for somebody or be a people pleaser, or you don't want to hurt their feelings, you don't want to tell them no because, you know, I'm a good person. Excuse me. I'm a good say this, and I'm going to drink some more tea when I get done. It just got stuck. But we think about, well, you know, I'm a good person, and, you know, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Look here. You got to forget about their feelings when it comes down to the truth. The Bible tells us, let our yes be yes, and let our no means no. If you tell them the truth, first of all, there's a way of saying it. Don't be jacking up. Well, just say, no, that's a, no thanks. Thank you. And that's it. Forget about trying to explain. You ain't got to explain nothing to nobody pertaining to you. But, you know, can I take you out on a date? No thanks. Okay. Well, why not? Bye. I don't owe you an explanation. If I explain to you, then that may be courteous, but it ain't mandatory. I don't have to explain to you why I'm not going to give you my trust. You don't have to explain to somebody why you're not going to give them your trust or even your time. You asked them and you gave them a definite yes or no. And that's it. If it was really meant for you to have them in your circle, watch how they react to that and then move on. If they react in a respectful way, and it might be a question you may be thinking, you're like, and you see how they act, and then all of a sudden you see, oh, okay, well, you know what? I might have been wrong about that person, but I see how they really are. Then you can go back and say, hey, you know what? I thought about blah, 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 blah. That's not there. But when you start seeing people react, no, but that's what I thought, and blah, blah, blah. You say, see? I see why. You want to have people in your circle that is mal-mannered. You got to think about it. When you have a hothead, hotheads don't listen. Oftentimes, hotheads are impulsive. They are reactive. A lot of them, they're too busy thinking about the voice in their head instead of God's voice in their spirit. A lot of them, they'll speak on their emotions. They'll speak on their feelings instead of speaking on faith or facts. You have to have people that's going to get a prayer through. That's the main thing I always tell people. When you look at your circle, can your circle get a prayer through? The people that are in your circle, can they impart to you when you feel low? Notice I didn't say if you feel low. I said when you feel low. You could be dealing with hurt, disappointment, grief, anything. And always say this, and I'm going to take it to my grave. Just because you're going through things, just because you grieve, just because you're hurt, just because you're not feeling your best, does not mean you ain't saved. And I have to make sure that I clarify, because somebody had a misinterpretation thinking I said once saved, always saved. I've never said that. But I want you to understand, just because, yes, you can go through things and you still saved. Yes, I could be hurt and I'm still saved. Yeah, I could be upset and I'm still saved. But there are things that happen in life. That's determined out of what they be saying, life be lifing. Life be lifing. So for us to understand, yes, it is our biblical responsibility as believers to choose wisely, but most importantly, discern and consult God first, not last. Consult God about everything. God is concerned about everything and should be consulted about everything. And when God gives us the truth about a particular person, accept it. You think God want to listen to us? Well, God is such a good person, you know, and we reading this long resume where, you know, they helped me with this, or, you know, they just misunderstood. God know their resume. Look here. God sees them, and he's seen them not just pertaining to what they had done or what they haven't done, but also God know their motives. So why are you going, God, look, just kill the conversation. God, thank you because you saved me from a potential problem. You saved me from a potential hellraiser. Think about that. But we snotting and crying and we, oh, God, I did it. And God said, look here. Now, one thing about it, we keep pressing on God. God, just give him the chance. Give me the chance. Hey, is that what you want? Go ahead. Go ahead. And we end up not getting God's perfect will, but we end up getting God's permissive will, meaning, hey, God allowed it. Why? Because, hey, you told him that's what you wanted, and God was showing you the red flags. And now we're not just talking about pertaining to dating, We talking about, like I said, pertaining to friendship, but it also can coincide with dating. Dating, choosing people in our heart. Well, they're a good person. And all this, I tell people all the time when I talk to people, I don't want to hear about you trying to buff them up. But we having problems. But they're a good person. I don't want to hear it. Don't waste my time. I have to learn to cut a conversation short now. Because I got to have time. Anytime a person wasting my time, they're wasting my time that I should be having with me and God, or me and myself, or me and my son. That's the way I look at it. So come to me correct. If I ask you, tell me. But I don't want you to tell me about his character and this and that. One of the things I always tell people, if you want to know a person's character, watch the decision that they make. If you look and see that they've gotten fired from all their jobs, they've been fired from 5 jobs within 2 months, but you're saying they're a good person. Okay, so all them 5 jobs that fired them, and you saying all 5 of them employees were the problem. Come on now. Wake up and smell the burnt coffee. Look at reality. The common denominator, it ain't the jobs, it's them. And so you have to look at how you choosing people in your circle. Like I said, pray and consult God. And understand, even in the Bible, it tells us how to choose quality people in our lives. Yeah. Yeah, people just think, well, the Bible is telling us about how to get to heaven. Yes, it is. It's telling us and teaching us about getting to heaven. But also, it's teaching us how not to catch hell down here. That means problems and situations with people, choosing quality people in our lives. Understanding, when you look at Job and all the loss he dealt with, if you notice, every loss that he had, there was somebody that had an asset to come to him, to not lift him up, but to tear him down. Do you have them kind of people in your life? Time you're going through something, well, all you need to do is repent. Ooh, God is trying to catch your attention. Ooh, yeah, God is trying to get your attention. You doing something. What am I doing? Well, it's something. You just need to pray. God may be trying to deal with you. Matter of fact, when COVID first happened, there was somebody reached out to me and told me that God is trying to punish you. Really? Oh, okay. Like I said, I thank God I know God for myself. Now, what that person didn't know, before I caught COVID, God showed me that I was going to catch it. But what he showed me, I was going to come out. And there was the opportunity to show people that God was a healer. And also for me to tell people and have that as part of my ministry about God's healing power. Also, it was another opportunity where I was actually one of the first individuals that people knew that had COVID. But what I was doing before I caught COVID, God put in my spirit to start having a prayer vigil every day. Every day. And I did it online. I did it online. And now, even though that happened in 2020, now, the prayers I have Monday through Friday, the morning prayers, actually that stem from what God told me to do before COVID. And so since God healed me like he said he would, what I wanted to do, I wanted to be consistent to show God, number one, before I caught COVID and me having the prayer vigils, I was doing it beforehand. In other words, I was anticipating healing. Now I'm doing a prayer ritual where I'm a witness to what healing looks like. I'm a witness to healing. And so, yes. So the prayers that I do Monday through Friday in the morning time, it stem from what God put in my spirit before COVID. So, yeah. And so what we have to do, we got to look at the people around us. When tough time comes, are they going to press us down or are they going to build us up? One of the things I always say, when your electricity is low, God will be your generator to kick in to build you up. But what he will have us to do is center us around people that's going to help us, look, be built up, not torn down. When you are going through, do you have people in your circle that can get a prayer through, that can intercede for you, that can love you, even if they don't say anything at all? Sometimes their presence can be powerful. Sometimes they can come to you and just lay hands and touch and agree with you. Or do you have people in your circle that every time you see them, they got their hand out asking you to help them? Every time you hear from them, there's always some type of drama or conflict that they have caused upon themselves, and they asking you to come to the rescue. What is the quality of the people in your circle? What is the worth? What is the value of the people in your network who you communicate with? Like I always say, the people that you have in your circle, you are actually endorsing them. Because what happens, oftentimes the people that know you, that love you, when they see the people that you have or the people that you call your friend, automatically it is assumed that that friend that you chose has the same quality, character, and nature as you. Matter of fact, what is Oprah Winfrey's best friend name? Gail King. Matter of fact, even Mr. Stedman. Mr. Stedman quit. He hated being known as Mr. Oprah Winfrey. What he wanted to do, he wanted to make a name for himself. He wanted people to know who he was, independent from Oprah. That, to be honest with you, that says a lot about people. Well, they're not trying to ride on your coattail because, look, I know so-and-so, so-and-so, and I'm connected to so-and-so, so-and-so. And what I found out, look here, there are some people, they trying to be your friend, but asking, why are they trying to be your friend? Oftentimes, I ain't going to say oftentimes, but there are times where they may try to be your friends to get what they can get out of you. Or what I found out, try to be friends because of who you connected to. I found that out. You know, I can say this. I'm not gonna go into a whole lot of detail about this. But when some people found out that I was connected to Prince's circle, the single Prince, Purple Rain, yes. Oh my gosh. There were people coming out of the woodwork. They weren't coming for me directly because of who I was. No, some of them were coming for me because I was connected to them, where ultimately they felt like I could give them access to Prince. And Prince ain't the only one, but that's one of the individuals that pretty much everybody knows. So I'm just going to use him for an example. And I'm like, man, no. There are some people, I'm telling you, there's so much I done found out. So, yes, that's why I don't mind sharing, and I want to use this as an opportunity to share people so that way you can avoid some of the pitfalls, so that way you can have the quality of life that God has for you. Yeah. And oftentimes we don't have our blessing which is another thing. We don't have our blessing or what we're asking God for because who we have within our circle. God may be withholding our blessing until this person get out of our circle. See, oftentimes, like I said earlier, it ain't us, but it's who we chose around us that may be hindering us from God moving or answering our prayers. We can end up also mismanaging, well, you know, I like helping people, and we didn't consult God about nothing, and we end up mismanaging. Anytime you do things without God's authorization, or you do the opposite of what God told you to do, you're mismanaging what God has given you stewardship over. In other words, you're being disobedient what God gave you. Let's be real. And if God did not give you an answer, and you continue, go ahead and you do it. If God didn't say anything, you shouldn't do anything. If God didn't say nothing, you shouldn't say nothing. If God didn't tell you to do it, then why are you doing it? It's just like if I was a kid and I asked Daddy if I could use his car, and he say, hold on, or he don't say anything at that moment, but he leave the room, and then me get his keys and get the car and go on. Did I disobey him? Well, he didn't say no, but he didn't say yes either. That silence could be wait. Wait. And that wait, does that mean go? No, it means stand still. And so when we start looking at things like that, we start taking life and things more seriously. So we got to be very careful in who we choose within our circle. We got to think about this, and you know, I like going to some of the scriptures for us to speak about this. It says, Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruins, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Also, we got to think about it. An intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God on behalf of a man who pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. That's Job 16:20-21. The people that Job had in his circle were his friends, but Job was a friend to them because he interceded. He even asked God to forgive them. Think about that. Also, when we got to be careful who we call friends. There are people that we call friends. They're not really friends. They're just associates. But then there's the terminology that's out now called frenemies. Frenemies, meaning those we gave our trust to that were actually our enemies. And actually, they didn't turn out to be our enemies. They were actually our enemies all along, but we gave them the position of a friend. And what happened, they were just waiting on the opportunity to reveal themselves. We often hear the scripture we talk about, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And what you have to do, you have to not only look at what that wolf in the sheep clothing eat, look at what he eating. Sheep eat grass, but a wolf eat meat. So if a wolf want to, quote unquote, pretend to be a sheep, he may mess around with the grass. He might even eat a string or two, but you got to see the consistency, because he just tolerating that grass until he sees that he has ability to eat that meat. So you got to look at not only what he's consuming in his mouth, but also you got to look at what he's putting out in his bowels. like I said, you got to think about it. Because if there's consistency with all the rest of the sheep, then okay, it's a sheep. But if you see the his digestive system is different than the rest of the sheep. We think we got an imitation over here. In other words, you got to look at what are they digesting and what they putting out. So the people that you have in your life, you got to look at what are they taking in and what are they putting out. Man, I needed that 20 years ago. You got to look at people, input as well as output. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity. Do y'all have a common denominator in common? Is there anything in common? Like I said, you got to look at your walk with God and their walk with God. And if they're not going to be obedient to God, they sure won't be obedient or respectful to you and your God. You got to think about that. Now, there are some people who, you know, hey, they might be great financial business people. And there may be some tools that you may learn that may help you along the way. That's fine and dandy. You know, it's just like people that you work with. Everybody that you work with ain't going to be saved and going to church on Sundays. Everybody that you say, everybody that you work with may not be saved and delivered. But the key thing is you know how to have a working relationship with them. You can work with them without pouring out your heart. And then there are some things that you can do that, hey, I appreciate, you know, you have a working relationship. Same thing pertaining to certain people who may have different traits or different abilities that you might kind of gravitate to that may help you. That may not be, quote unquote, spiritually compatible with you. That does not mean that you have allowed them within your heart or within your circle. You have to learn that I'm saying that said you have to learn to pick the meat and throw the bone away. But you still are having them at a working relationship. And that's something you have to think about. So, yes, it is so important for us to be able to look at those type of things. I think about also when Jesus was in a home and the house was so crowded, thank the Lord. The house was so crowded and there was a man that was in a bed that they, look, the friends got the man to the roof, dug a hole through the roof and sent that man that was in the bed in the presence of Jesus. Look, a friend did that, digging a hole in a stranger's house or in the roof of a house to get their friend over to Jesus. Now, my question is, talking about how you are towards people, no, but how people are towards you. Are they interceding for you? Are they praying for you? Do they have your best interest at heart or are they being selfish? Think about that. Think about that. We have to think about everything pertaining to YOU. This is your business. This is your company. This is your heart. This is your trust. You can't allow people to mismanage your heart or your trust. And so that's why it's so important. It's so important for us to consult God about everything. And God will reveal to you if this person is qualified, if this person is responsible enough, if this person is responsible or careless with your heart, with your trust. I want you to think about that. So like I said, what is your net worth of your network? The people that you depend upon, the people that you call friends, the people within your circle. Do you have an accountability partner in your circle? Do you have an accountability partner? Do you have someone that you can trust? If you're the one that can be the trusted one, but you choose the people or you're calling people your friends that you can't trust them, something is wrong. Something is wrong with you. And stop trying to groom people for the position of your trust. You can't do that. The Bible tells us, excuse me, the Bible tells us, it tells us the man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. Now, the man that findeth a wife, did it say the man that findeth a girl? Did it say the man that findeth a woman? Does it say the man that findeth a person that may potentially qualify for marriage? No. A man that findeth a wife. In other words, she was already wife material. So when we look at not just pertaining to courtship, but pertaining to friendship in every area of our life, pertaining to relationship, we got to think about, are they already established in the position that we want to look, that we want to have them in our life? Are they already in that position? Are they acting in a position that we want to hire them in our life? Are they exhibiting the qualities of a potential person for the position that we're trying to draft them into our life? Think about that. If they're not, they're not ready. If they're not, they're not qualified. You got to think about that. And so with that being said, just in case you have made some wrong decisions in your life in choosing people in your life that were untrustworthy and you gave them your trust, you know what? Forgive them and forgive yourself. Now, one of the things I always say, just because you forgive a person does not mean that you have to automatically trust them. No. But understand that you forgive yourself, and the question is, did you learn from your mistake? Did you learn from the bad choices? If you learn from it, then great. You can move on. But if you haven't learned from it, if you haven't examined, sometimes you may have to, you know, get a pen and paper and write down everything. Also, it's okay to even get wise counsel. Sometimes counseling, which is okay. What did you learn from the bad choices? Did you learn anything from the bad choices? Because whatever we don't learn, we may end up repeating that same mistake again. There's a saying that says you got to pass that test. If you don't pass the test, you may have to take it over again. And sometimes the retakes are much harder than the original test. And so now God wants you to wake up and smell the coffee and knowing that you need to consult him about choosing friends in your life. And know the ultimate friend that we can have is Jesus Christ. And God, through his son, Jesus Christ, will help us to see and to show who's qualified and who ain't qualified for our trust. God wants us to consult him in the area of our lives and wait for his response. And not only wait for his response, but accept his response. Don't be in denial. It may not make it simple. If God told you something, it's for a reason. But you have to make sure that it's God speaking and not your voice in your head speaking. It's God speaking and not your emotions or your feelings or your past hurts are speaking. And even with that pertaining to you, if you've dealt with any past hurt, problems or drama or trauma, God is a healer. Yeah, you might have your fences up. You may not look here. You might not want to trust nobody anymore. Your trust level is so low. It's so low. Ants can walk over it. Your trust level with people, adults. Oh no. Mm-mm. Regardless if your trust level is because of a failed relationship a divorce, baby mama, baby daddy drama, or even church hurt, whatever it is, know that God want to heal you from any hurt, any residue of hurt that you might have experienced. And know God is a healer. He's a healer. He can heal and it don't take him long. God can move and it don't take him long. God can do the impossible. All things are possible through him. So know that this is an opportunity for you to go to God and give it to him. And know it don't take him long. Are you willing and obedient? If you're willing and obedient, you can eat the good of the land. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. God, we come in right now, God, ask God to help us right now, God, to choose wisely, God. But most importantly, help us, God, to consult you right now in every area of our lives right now, in every area of our lives right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we depend upon you right now, God. God, we need your guidance and your direction right now, God. Help us right now, God, to choose quality people in our lives right now, God. Help us right now, God, even to choose people right now, God, that you approve of. And then, God, the people that we may select, God, if you didn't authorize, God, we give you permission, God, to relocate them, to move them from their circle right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm seeing right now, God, God, whoever have like some type of fluid right now, God, there's extra fluid, God, in their joints right now, God. We speak it right now, God, that you remove it, God. Remove it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we speak it. We're seeing the procedure right now, God, a thing being sucked out right now, God. God, I'm speaking right now, God, that you heal, deliver, that you set free right now, in the name of Jesus. God, we speak it right now, God, that you do a new thing in their lives right now, in the name of Jesus. Help them right now, God. Encourage their heart. Encourage their mind right now, in the name of Jesus. God, we're speaking against every anxiety, every worry, every panic, like every dizziness spell right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we speak right now, God, for normalcy, God. We speak right now, God, for stability right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we hold up each and every person right now, God, that may be grieving or going through, God. God, we speak right now, God, that you comfort their heart, God. Be with them right now in the name of Jesus. Let them know, God, that you are Father that will never leave nor forsake them right now, God. You care for us, God, and I thank you for it right now, God. God, me speaking right now, God, even for this Domestic Violence Awareness Month, God. Speaking right now, God, for those that may be watching or listening, they may be in a toxic relationship, they may be in an uncomfortable relationship, they may be in an ungodly relationship. God, we speak right now, God, that you reveal to them, minister to them right now, God, and plan them a way of escape right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we're speaking against the abuser right now, God. God, we're speaking, God, for deliverance right now, God. Give them that desire, not just to be saved, but be saved and delivered. Set free. The yokes are being destroyed. The burdens right now, God, being lifted. God, the worry, the anxiety, all these things that you did not authorize, the fear. God, we know, God, that you did not give a spirit of fear or timidity. So, God, we speak in strength and courage to the believers right now, God. God, we speaking right now, God. Those that may be looking for a church home, lead and guide them right now, God. Those that may be trying to find friends, God, we speaking right now, God, to help them right now, God. Not only accept you as a friend, but God, lead them to people that are friendly right now, God. In the name of Jesus, help them, God, where they can grow, God. Grow in you, God. Love you, God, and loving in you right now, God. God, we're speaking, God, even for a place of worship right now, God. God, we're speaking right now, God, that we worship you, God. God, we worship you in every area of our lives right now, God. We surrender our wills and our way to you right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, God, for what you're about to do, God. Most importantly, I thank you right now, God, for who you are. You've been our Savior, our Redeemer. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. Matter of fact, I see I got somebody on the air. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to chime them in right quick. Matter of fact, Matter of fact, before I get them in, I'm going to make sure they have an opportunity to come on, and I want to make sure that they're being heard. Okay. We're going to get ready. I don't know who's on here. I'm going to give it a try.
Yes, hello?
Hello there. Hello there. How you doing today? Welcome to Rick and the Mohawk Podcast.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you. I was just noticing and listening to your program, but you use some business terms like net worth and network. And so, but you're evaluating people. I think that's a good process. However, that has to be taught. There's a lot to unpack in that particular phrase, the net worth, because you're looking at the value of a person, what they can contribute to the overall relationship, and also what you contribute. And so that's a monumental task. And I would say it's evidenced by the fact that so few people actually have success there. And unfortunately, you know, I place a lot upon the shoulders of the church, and they have been shirking their responsibility to really equip people to do this important process. So that's just a brief observation.
Yes, yes. Well, I appreciate you. I thank you so much, and continue to come in and support.
Okay.
Yes. So I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And also, just in case those of me want to get in contact with me, you can catch me on Facebook, Brother Prater. Brother Prater, Pearson Paul, Rats and Tom, ER. You see my daily devotion, also my videos. Also, you can go to my website or my app. It's Brother Prater, and I'm on Android as well as Apple Store. And you see my daily devotion and my videos. Also, you can go to the store section of my app where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to inform men the needs and responsibility towards their family, their children, even their children's mother, regardless if they're with them or not. And they're also talking to the women, because we want to make sure, you know, just like we might want to inform and educate the men, we want to also do the women. So it's, the book is almost like two or three books into one. Also, the second book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life. That's a tribute to my sister, Sheila Prater, who's no longer with us due to domestic violence. And even this season in our lives, we want to make sure that we sound the alarm on domestic violence awareness. This is a very, very, very important and also sensitive subject to me that I'm going to continue to speak on this. And I just thank God for the opportunity. I want to give a shout out to Miss Norma Brooks. We had a great, great, great fellowship of the second annual Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Great time, Pastor. I want to give a shout out to her pastor and the church. Great, great time. I really, really enjoyed myself. And I want to encourage other leaders, pastors, bishops, please let's address domestic violence. And don't think it's not happening within your church. It can happen to anybody. So that's why it's so important for us to educate, talk to people, share with them, please. So with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in, and thank you for listening to Reconnect My Heart Podcast. God bless you, and good night.